of our pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy marble hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open thou the grace of Barton, whence the healing strength of flow. Let the fire and tardy pillar lead me all my journey through.
That was always a good old one to sing. Any time for that matter. We're switching books. We're also switching glasses to the big book. If you would like to take and meet me in hymn number 19. Hymn number 19 is another old one, another old favourite. Well, definitely of mine. This one is called There Is a Fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. If you're able, join me on your feet. It's always easier to sing whenever you're standing up. Let's make a joyful noise as we sing hymn number 19, There Is a Fountain.
morning's reading is from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren also, are become dead the law by the body of Christ, which ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that he should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve a newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law, for I have not known lust, except the law hath said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of consequence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained of life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. And then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, and that is good. Now, then it is no more I shall do it, I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would do not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Amen.
Want to remind everybody about the wee prayer list, and open the floor for any additions to it. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to our little pink prayer list? It's not an honour of anything, except maybe the colour of my undergarments in years gone by when I used to wash my clothes, and everything ended up the wrong colour. But other than that, does anybody have anything that they would like to add? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for my sister this morning, she's going for a full scan.
To see that? We will pray for Edith. I think you'll find out later on today.
Yeah.
What time is her scan at, do you know?
11 o'clock.
So she is actually in the midst of it right now. We'll pray about that. Any other prayer requests? You traveling home again tonight, Frank?
Yeah.
So do you want us to pray for safe travels for you?
Yes.
Every little bit helps, doesn't it? Well, if there's nothing else, the only other thing we have is a private prayer request. Does anybody have private prayer requests? And anybody got any thanks? For your man?
I'm young.
Amen. Did I see your hand up there, Will? No?
No.
I want to thank the Lord for, we got a, as you may have noticed out at the back there, there's four jars of chutney, apple and onion and raisin, and there's other stuff in there as well. Monica knows if you need the exact ingredients, but whenever I was lifting the branches for Dr. Shang that he pulled out, I saw an apple tree growing in that field across from you. Did you see all of the red in the tree? No? I did, because I'm looking for those things. Much was in it?
£15.
£15 of apples. And then yesterday, did you get a note from us yesterday in the door?
The track.
The track?
Yeah.
You're the only people in Westlake that came, that got a track and came to the church this morning. It works! It works! But I was thinking we will call for, I will see if there are any apples left. So we parked the car and Will and I, we went and we got another £7 or £8 for his mum as well. So we got lots of apples around by your place as well. And amen. I know they'll go to you somewhere. I think that's about that. If there's nothing else, do please pray for peace of Israel. There's a lot going on. I know there was an Israeli or Mossad counterattack, probably one of the cleanest attacks that any battle anywhere in the world has ever seen. And only those people that were causing trouble got hit with the pager and the walkie-talkies. Which should make you wonder about just what exactly is put into our electronics. That's neither here nor there. That's a discussion not for a church, but sort of DARPA discussion. Do please pray for all of those things as well. There's a lot going on. Do pray for each other. Well, could I ask you to pray for us if you wouldn't mind?
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing us this period. Thank you today, Lord. That's not just. Lord, may you praise the great holy Lord, your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, died to save people from their sins, Lord. May they repent and put their trust in him, Lord. May they do so, may people do so today, Lord. And salve today, Lord, save souls in Vilda and Westlake and all around the city, Lord, and throughout this land, and throughout the world, Lord, that they may be written in the last book of life, and thy good name glorified and may the good name be blessed as well, Lord. Lord, we thank you for having Frank, Lord, for everybody that's in this church today, Lord. We pray for Frank and safe during his home to know, Lord. Help him with his job, bless him, keep him, Lord, and help him with his as well, Lord. Also, if he does, I just prefer to pray, Lord. Work it so that it takes us here, Lord, and to your health, Lord, and Lord, help our mind and power, particularly in yours, Lord, and may the doctors see what they have to see, Lord, and Lord, pray for and keep us safe as well, Lord, and heal her as well, Lord. Lord, be absent for our with Sir Stephen Carl and John Moore, also with Carl's back palms, Lord, and Pale Lord, Bricker Architects, but more importantly, Saver Soul as well, Lord. Also with Stephen's Legs, Lord, Hill Mighty and Powerful as well, Lord. Also with Colin Ware, that is still in plenty of trouble, set a ring of fire, well, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord. And may he rely on your Son, Lord, for protection and help him mightily and powerfully as well, Lord, as well, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord. With Pat's heart problems, Lord. And also her hip as well, Lord. Bring him back to church, Lord. Also with Steve, heal him mightily and powerfully, Lord. And see him back to church as well, Lord. Also with John McGowan, Lord, and his family, Lord. Save him mightily and powerfully, Lord. And bring him back to church as well, Lord, as well. Lord, bless us this day, Lord. Just more for your grace and your manifold blessings, Lord. And we say a blessing tonight, today and tonight, in this church as well, Lord. And throughout the world, Lord, see souls might be saved as well, Lord. We're welcome to deliver the gospel. We admonish you from the voice of our Lord. And may we see a message dedicated to the great holy name of God, tailored to our lives, Lord. For an honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ again,
amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take the loving hymn books again, if you would. And we'll sing number 5 in the Read Like hymn books. Number 5, good old favourite, Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. Hymn number 5, we'll remain seated as we sing. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. We're in the book of Genesis again. I nearly forgot about those.
Thank you very much indeed.
We're in the book of Genesis. If you would like to take and turn to Genesis chapter 15. Just as you turn there, I hope you've all had a good week. I don't know how susceptible you are to hay fever, but I didn't think I was, but it seems to be quite severe on me this morning. My nose is running continually, and my eyes are a bit, I don't know what the word is, stingy. I hope you're not. I hope you're good to join us for the first half a dozen verses of Genesis chapter 15. Pray you have a good week. Don't forget to pray too for Edith. She's been 45 minutes into her appointment. Pray everything is going well. And for Frank as he travels. Genesis chapter 15. Want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of at all times. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, that is Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Verse number 6 is our text. We're speaking on the subject of that all counts, or that definitely counts, but the definite counts should be in the title. And let's have a quick word of Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord again for all our many helps and our blessings. And I pray that you would be with us as we spend this little bit of time aside from the world in your work. I do pray especially for Edith at this time. She's going through this scan. And Lord, we do remember Frank and pray that you would watch over and keep him as he travels back to work in London this evening. Please bless each head that's bowed in your presence, Father, and each soul that has taken time out of what can be quite a busy life, Lord, to meet with like-minded brethren, to sing your praises, to lift up your prayers, and to read and study your word, not just here, Lord, but across the world. Please bless our brethren, please supply us this day our daily bread, and give us portions of wisdom as we read and study your word. We just love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse number 6 is actually mentioned in, I think it's in the book of Romans as well, where referring to Abraham, it says that he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. It all counts. Now, unfortunately, we live in the days where the Word of God is not greatly esteemed, even though it is a little bit like those that pager attacks and walkie-talkie attacks. The Word of God always hits its intended target, and the only fallout there is from it is in a good way, where people get an example of Christianity. When someone gets saved, starts living for the Lord, the people around and about them, they get a little taste of Christianity. If I said to you the same things that God said to Abraham, that keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your mind on the Lord and be about the Lord's business whenever you've done everything you need to pay your bills and eat your dinner and tea and breakfast and whatnot, because he is your shield and thy exceeding great reward, you would think, what's the money value in that? People don't realize just how important it is to have God as your shield and to look to God and not to put your eyes in the things of this world and depend upon them. Because time or thieves or take them all off of you. Anyway, I just want to go through these verses very quickly. God says to Abraham, just in this little portion of God's word, he says, look, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. He says, look up. Can you number all the stars? All those stars, as the Bible says, are different in glory, which was written thousands of years ago. And they just found out that every single star is different whenever they run these mass spectrometers and things off them and see the different radiations and things that come off them. He said, I will make a great nation out of you. So much so that if you could count the stars in the sky, you could count the people, the children of Israel. Not only that, and Abraham said, but how? I have no child. The only one that I have is Ishmael. He's been born into my house. And God said, no, that was from your wife's handmaid. He doesn't count. He's after the flesh. You will have a son, and his name shall be called Isaac. And from him will come the great nation that I will bless and watch over. Now, Abraham was well up in years. He was in his 80s, I think, whenever he was having this conversation with God. But he believed God. Even though he was a much older man, even though his wife, as far as the world was concerned, wasn't able to have children anymore, he believed God. He believed God when doctors said Sarah will never have children. He believed God whenever other people would say, well, you're too old to have to father children now, Abraham. He believed God. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted God whenever God told him to leave the land of his father and go to the promised land. He believed God and he trusted God. And this faith in God, these actions upon his faith in God, were counted to him for righteousness. In other words, it was Abraham demonstrating how much he trusted God and acting on what God said, even when the world said something different, that was counted to him for righteousness. God said, that shows me and everybody around you that you trust me. And that you're obeying me. And that's important. Now, there's a couple of very good verses in the book of James. In James chapter 2. They're part of some memory verses that I am continually working on at the moment. And I would like to read these to you. It's in James 2. It's well worth a read. And this is what it says. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. In other words, your faith should inspire you and empower you or constrain you to do something for God. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If we were to read later on, this would apply to us in this particular reading. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see also, sorry, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You must have faith, and if it's a real faith, it will produce something in your life works. Goes on to talk about Rahab the harlot, and it closes in verse 26, and it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Things that a person does are just an outward display of what's going on inside of their heart and mind. And if God is living there, like the Bible says, the Holy Spirit does whenever you get saved, it's going to come out in your life. It'll come out in the way you speak. It'll come out in the way you dress. It'll come out in the things that you do. It'll come out in the places that you go to. And if God is not living there, goodness, could you imagine a lost person coming into Bethel and listening to the Bible reading that Norman gave us this morning about evil living in her, being part of our nature, our sin nature. They wouldn't like that. Wouldn't like this either. If God's not living there, that'll show too. The places that people go, the way they dress, the things that they do, the words that they speak, all of those will show what's going on in a person's life, what's going on in their mind. It always comes out. Somebody used to say, God knows straight away what you're up to, and sooner or later everybody else finds out. You know, and it counts, the Bible says, for righteousness. It was counted unto him, it was given to him. In other words, good for you for doing a good work for the right reason. It was counted unto Abraham for righteousness. Abraham believed on God. He believed God was his Savior. He believed God was his helper. My goodness, he spoke to God face to face. He walked and he talked with God. And he observed God, he fellowshiped with God, and most importantly, he trusted in God. So much that he skipped town, moved to a different part of the world. I remember saying to a few people who claimed to be Christians, if your belief in God can't get you up out of bed or off the armchair when God calls to do something for God, that he commands you to do, and I don't know what he's asking you to do or has asked you to do, are you sure that your trust and faith and belief in God is going to take you to heaven? You're supposed to be a new creature. There are times in our lives when decisions have to be made, and sometimes there's many different options whenever decision times come. It's not just a crossroad, it might be an eight-way crossing. And most often times there's only one right decision, one godly decision, and then there's many other decisions. And making the godly decision can cost you. And you might think, well, if I live for God, well then, yes, that counts, but it seems to be counting against me. It might count against me as regards money. I might not be able to make as much money or acquire as much money if I live for God. I might lose out on business opportunities if I can't go for a liquid lunch and talk to clients. It might cost you in popularity, because how many people want to be in the company of a Christian who, without even saying a word, remind people continuously that they're for God and you're not, they're going to heaven and you're not, and they don't even say anything. Cost your family, friends even. It might bring bother to your door in certain parts of the world, actual physical persecution. And in others, it may even cost you your life. But when it's weighed against the cost of doing business with the world, the flesh and the devil, and I have seen the awful cost that living without God can bring to a person, can destroy your mind. It can destroy your body. It can destroy your finances, your health. It can destroy your relationships, your families. How many families have gone to rack and ruin because of alcohol or immorality? How many countries are going to the dogs, because the people that have been voted in to lead them are as wicked as the devil himself, the one that we're sitting in right now. My goodness. One half of the country was governed by a homosexual, and the other half was governed by was at one point, and the other half governed by socialists and communists. My goodness. The Bible says that right is its own reward. And we ought to get with that program and not be looking for a money value in everything. Now, I know a lot of times whenever we bring messages like this, when we're weighing in the balances what God gives us against what the world takes from us, sometimes it seems that things do have a very real money value on them. But God doesn't leave us high and dry. And he doesn't expect us to carry all of the burdens that there are out there on our own. One of the things that he says that he will look after is vengeance. Another one that he says that he will look after is judgment. And another thing that God says that he will look after is loss. He will tend to those things if we let him. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Now, if Frank came up and punched me in the arm, not now, but at the end of the service, I would feel the need to run after him and punch him back, and maybe punch him a bit harder, to make sure that he didn't punch me in the arm again. And then Frank might get all annoyed, because I definitely punched him harder than he punched me, and he might look to get me back again. And it might go back and forwards and back and forwards until someone reaches for a chair. And it just keeps going and going and going. Whenever you let God deal with those things, he does them perfectly. He does them sometimes spectacularly, but he does it in such a way that can't point a finger at you. One of those examples was, I remember watching on one of those You've Been Framed sort of programs, where a man was walking across a zebra crossing and the car had stopped, and he banged the bonnet on the car with his fist, and he was wagging his finger as he walked across the zebra crossing, and he walked straight into a big metal post. And everybody had a laugh about it, and he got his. And it wasn't an escalation, it was a conclusion. Anyway, there are some beautiful verses that we would do well to remember, the promises of God, and act upon them. For instance, the Bible says that everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters in Matthew 19, or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, in other words, if God puts it upon you to go a certain course and you end up losing something in the world for that, this is what God says: in this life shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. John 5, it says that the Father judgeth no man, and we're called not to be judges. He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, we are supposed to make good decisions, which means we're supposed to evaluate, we are supposed to judge. But when it comes to people ending up in heaven or hell, that's up to God and people making the right decision. Vengeance, judgment, and loss. Who would have thought that those were God's preserve? I tell you what, I know there have been times in my life where I could cheerfully have burned the world down and a lot of people in it, and I could have smiled and gone to my bed and slept at night, and I would have been feeling okay about it, at least for a little while. But these things are better looked after by God, because they'll be done properly. And again, no fingers will be pointed back at you. And it helps us whenever we can live a life lifted above those most base of feelings, those are like animalistic feelings. God doesn't want us to live like animals. The rest of the world lives like animals. We're not to be at the mercy of feelings, but we are to live in God's mercy and His grace and His power. We should be able to get over a lot of stuff that drags people down. There's one other thing that the Lord said before He went alive up into heaven. Go and tell other people about the great things that God has done for you. In whatever way you can, tell people. Whether it's in the short term, with a conversation, or a leaflet in through a door, or just whatever, or whether it's in the long term with a godly life. God gives us helps to do that. If we turn up, if we pray, if we are faithful in church, if we're diligent about our lives and do what He asks us to do and all the other stuff we need to do, God gives us helps. He gives us the words to speak. If we will listen, He gives us the places to be. He gives us comfort in whenever we trust what He says. He even tells us the future. Christians technically should be the world's first and greatest preppers. You know what a prepper is? It's someone that stores food and equipment and lays it aside in case of disaster, so that when disaster strikes, that they have food and shelter and heat and whatever else it is that they need. Well, the Lord said these things are going to happen, so be ready. He didn't say to lay aside food, no harm in doing that anyway. He said to lay aside your souls, lay them aside in My hand, and I will look after them. And He gives us assurance. And He gives us the strength that so many miss in this world today, which is the strength to go against popular opinion and not worry what everybody else is saying, especially if God says something different. All of these things that God gives to you and I, anybody can have, anywhere in the world. And they're not dependent upon your language, and they're not dependent upon your wealth or your education. They're dependent upon your relationship with God. All of these things we need. Because eventually the world, the flesh, the devil, and time, Father Time as they used to mention, will take everything else away that isn't nailed down or isn't installed in your heart and mind. But they can't take you. Because the Bible says that Jesus keeps you in the palm of His hand. And our Father in heaven keeps us in the palm of His hand. And whilst we're here right now, God helps and ministers to. And every single thing that God does for us helps us. Just in the same way that every single thing that we do for God helps us too. When our hearts and minds and our hands and our feet are occupied doing what God wants us to do, we can't be doing what the devil wants us to do. And by the way, he will try and take even your testimony and your peace away from it. God offers comfort. He offers assurance, strength, wisdom even, the right words at the right time. He even offers, in quotes, Christian coincidences, we'll call them that. The times when things just happen to work out for the best. God offers that. He offers peace in your heart, even when the world's coming down around your ears. He offers overcoming power. He promises the ministrations of angels. He promises a listening ear. And He promises interceding lips. And for the soul that keeps their eyes open, the fulfillment of prophecy right in front of you. He promises a love for the brethren and for the souls of the lost. A good book. He promises the creator of the universe is your comforter and guide and friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And whilst the world, and bear this in mind, the world, the flesh and the devil, have gotten very good at making the most important things seem completely trivial. And the most trivial things seem so important, they're ruining people. God says, these things are important. Your soul is the most important. Make sure it's saved. Ministering to your soul whenever you are here on earth and in the souls of others is the next most important thing. People's not getting that. And look at society around and about us and see what it is causing people to do. See the end result of removing God from every aspect of people's lives. All the things that God delivers and provides for us day by day, even to the point of just a look over your right shoulder, can make the difference between life and death. It's these things that really count. They really count even now in this life, and most certainly in the end of ages of eternity. And we ought to listen to the man that knows what's coming round the corner. And we ought to obey the instructions that he has set for us in his word. Even if it is tough. Even if it flies in the face of everything else. Because let's be honest, folks. Someday our lives are going to draw to a close. Does anybody here want to end up in hell? No, we want to go to heaven. And to whom does heaven belong? God Almighty. We would be well served to practice talking and listening to God and obeying him now, because there will come a day when that's all we'll get to do, and it will be the best of it. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're going to sing hymn number 55 by way of our closing hymn. Hymn number 55. When the roll is called up yonder, if you're fit, stand with me as we sing this closing hymn number 55, When the Roll Called Up Yonder.
Shall gather all.
discovered John chapter 10, 27, 28, and 29. They're just stuck in there. God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time and attention. If you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time, for being one of our number, for those good old hymns, for your word, the reading of it and the studying of it. And I pray you, Lord, that you wouldn't be done with us. Please continue to work in all of us, your children's lives, in our own and the lives of those around about us. And if there'll be an opportunity to be up at the Crescent Link today, Lord, I pray for space and time. We love you and thank you. Leave these things, especially for Edith at this time, for Frank's travels this evening. And we leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.